Great to see everyone, so very happy that you're here. I hope you had a good day. And it is a blessing. Let's remember to be here with God's people together. Just a couple announcements here. Number one, since it wasn't in the morning announcements, again, next Sunday, 4 p.m., for the Lads to Leaders puppets, if you're interested, parents, grandparents, I know a lot of them are over there now, but 4 p.m. in the annex, just a meeting to talk about it, so please keep that in mind. And also, the Lads to Leaders PowerPoints. I'm going to be giving out outlines for that for the kids, and we're going to, some are going to shoot for gold. They got to do three, or it might be four, but I know at least three PowerPoints to get gold in that area. So keep that in mind. Also, don't forget the summer series, right? 7 o'clock this Thursday. We've got three more, and if you're not coming, you're missing out. Great lessons. And you know, you're not gonna be sorry that you came with all the speakers that we have, so keep that in mind. In the great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 39, we read, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they were encircled for 7 days." Now on Joshua 6, and by the way, Brother Eddie, the scripture reading was Joshua. I apologize if I wrote Judges 6. That's a great passage you read, but that's not the one we wanted. So I apologize. I probably wrote down the wrong one. But in Joshua, the 6th chapter, let's read just a few verses here. Beginning in verse 1, Joshua, the 6th chapter. Let's read the first 5 verses. "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of your men of war. You shall go around the city once, then you shall do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Now, there's probably not many Bible stories that are better known than this. You know, you've got the story of Noah and the flood. There's few key stories in the Bible that most people know, right? And this is one of those, I believe. And it's a great story about faith and obedience. And for us today, this story relates to us concerning faith and obedience, right? It's a picture of redemption for us to see what's being, not only these events, but what's being taught to us through this picture of redemption. And that's why it's in that great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And, you know, it's all about really learning to give up control to things to God that we weren't really in control of anyways. Right? That's one of the main things I think we can learn from this, right? And in that faith and obedience, and our theme for the year, Vessels of Honor, right? This has everything to do with that. And so the story here of Jericho, right, powerful example of faith and obedience and trust, and the single nature of this event here stands out, right? Because it's a story of God's people emerging victorious against great odds, right? Do you know the story, right? You know, and although God promised that he would give them the promised land, what stood in the way was this great walled city of Jericho. And unless they found a way to bring down the walls of this city right here, then the city of Jericho could not be taken, and the land of promise couldn't be theirs. So the walls of this city absolutely had to come down. And the thing about it, we need to understand this fact above all else in all of this, It would have been totally, completely impossible to bring those walls down without God. But they had to come down if they're going to live in the promised land. And of course, you know, God's people would have a great victory. And, you know, so how did all this happen? Right? Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 30, it answers it. Right? By faith. That's the answer. By faith, a simple yet powerful statement. So by faith suggests five answers to that question of how did the walls come down? And, you know, what sort of faith was it that caused the great walls of Jericho to fall? So let's examine five brief answers to that question. Right? How did the walls come down? So number one, God's people had faith in spite of long odds, right, which caused the walls to fall. And again, we need to understand that geographically, that any invading army would have to deal with this great walled city first before entering into the region. You couldn't bypass the city, right? Jericho, it was just too large. It was too strong to ignore. Something had to be done with this city. And, you know, plus for the children of Israel, this city, to Joshua and God's people, right, it was a city of pagan unbelief. It was a city of strategic importance. God's people weren't allowed to dwell among false religions, right? And so three reasons are crucial in all of this, right? The pagan religion had to be confronted. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 1, as for the city having spiritual and military importance, just listen to this one verse here. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves, cities great and fortified up to heaven. And so you see here, taking this city was a very big deal. Right? We might not give this story, this event, a lot of attention, but it was a big deal. It was absolutely impossible for the children of Israel to go in the land of promise without removing these walls. Right? And they couldn't do a frontal assault. They didn't have the military equipment to take down these walls. You know, they couldn't bypass it. Right? They couldn't breach the walls themselves. So what could they do? Well, that brings us to our second main point. You see, God had a plan. And really, this is what your entire Bible is about. God has a plan. Right? And we need to seek his plan to be victorious. Right? And in this, to tear down the walls. And so in Joshua 6, so God instructs his people here to do a number of unusual things. Right? But note that all of them were completely necessary, and all of them didn't have any military value. I'm just going to have to use this microphone here, Cleveland. My wireless went dead. There we go. So I want you to note this here. Right? And again, all of this also was about complete obedience for victory. Right? You see it on the screen there. So they, you know, march around the city once a day for 6 days, verse 3. You know, they're going to march around with the Ark of the Covenant. And they're going to put the seven priests, verse 4, in front of the Ark. And then on the seventh day, they march around seven times there in verse 5. Right? And on that seventh time around, on that seventh day, right, they're going to blow the trumpets. The people are going to shout, and the walls are going to come down. And when the walls come down, they were to enter the city and conquer it. Now, God told them that the walls would fall. And yes, God did his part because walls did fall. But they still had to do the marching and the shouting and the blowing of the horns, and the priests had to do their part, and they had to carry the ark. So God did his part, but the people still had to do their part. And here's the point. Obedience was mandatory for victory. You see this picture of redemption here? Right? And here's the faith part in all of this. He instructed the people to be perfectly silent as they marched around the city. Right? He put the soldiers in front of the priests behind the ark. He had the priests blow the ram's horn, the shofar in Hebrew. Right? Blow that continually. Right? March around 6 days. Each evening, they would then return to their camp. Those 6 days. Right? And you know that the folks in Jericho, those 6 days, right, every time they went to their camp, you know, they're probably ridiculing them, yelling insults at them. Look how stupid you are. This doesn't make any sense. But yet they followed very specifically the instructions of God, right, to be pleasing to him. He said to do this, and that's what exactly they were doing, right? You know, and there's application in areas still today, right? This does sound familiar. Oh, you don't have to do all of that to be a Christian. Oh, you don't have to be so exact in your worship. It doesn't really matter how a church organizes, right, and on and on and on. But on the seventh day, at the end of that seventh day, that seventh time around the city, the priest sounded a long blast. People shouted as loud as they could. And we know what happens, right? So, but pause for just a moment. What are the chances that this strategy would cause those mighty walls of Jericho to fall? Marching plus blowing of horns plus shouting, right? All of that. You know, really, to me, it sounds like more of what you see at a football game. And I guarantee you that you're not going to find any military expert anywhere that says this is a sound strategy for victory. It just doesn't make sense, right? And so for what we have here, you know, it seems that if we didn't know any better, we'd say this would be one of the greatest military blunders in history. But now at this point, we encounter something new and vital. Our third point here. The walls of Jericho fell because they had faith that God would give them the victory. I'm sure they didn't fully know how God would do it. They just had faith that God was going to give them the victory. Well, and we get two hints in this, in the story here. The first hint, God said he was going to give them the city. Look at verse 2 here in chapter 6. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho in your hand." Now, it hadn't happened yet. Do you note the tense there? Right? Note the past tense in this statement. I have delivered, not I will deliver. We learn a lot about the character of God in that statement. Right? God speaks as if the walls of Jericho have already fallen, that Jericho is already defeated. Right? And that's a key point in this. You know, God is saying it's a done deal. Those walls are coming down. It's just a matter of time and obedience. Now, that shouldn't surprise anyone who believes in God. You know, he can do things like that, and you know, he speaks and it's done. Basically, just do what I say and the victory is yours, just like salvation. But the second hint here, God puts himself in the midst of the battle. Look at verse 4. Right, he tells them to march with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we can get technical and go back and look at Leviticus 16, and the Ark of the Cherubim was God's representative presence on earth there on the mercy seat. And so God puts himself in the midst of the battle, right? You know, it's almost like God saying, all right, I'm here, you know, I'm going to lead this army. I'm going to lead this parade, or however you want to look at that. And now all normal military options are off the table. It's God plus his people, right? Military equipment, it doesn't matter at this time here. Now, what were God's people probably thinking during all of this? I don't know if you ever thought about that, right? Did they maintain faith throughout all of this? Right? Did they doubt? Well, as you continue here, we're seeing the people had an active faith, right? And that's a great picture of redemption for us today. And although the people of Jericho didn't know it yet, right? They were defeated before the walls came down because God is involved. Right, and so you think about that equation here, marching and horns and shouting, the walls came tumbling down. You see, it's God that made all the difference in Jericho. You know, God has so ordered the moral universe that he responds to our faith when we put that faith to work. So number four out of our five main points this evening, the walls fell. Now here's some personal application. Faith expressed itself in persevering obedience. Right, so since God is the real hero in this story, then we're going to face another question. You know, why did God have the people march around the city for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day? Why did he have them do that? Right, it's not as if they're marching somehow destabilized the walls. Right, you see, here's a great lesson on faith and the power of God, a lesson on how we learn to access his power through our obedience. Right? God does not honor a passive faith. Never has. Regardless which covenant it is. Right? But rather, he honors an active faith. That's why Abraham is called the father of the righteous. Right? If you're taking notes, Romans chapter 4, read the whole chapter. And if you read the rest of Joshua chapter 6 here, you discover that God's promises are conditional. Right? There's a do this, and then this will happen. And so see if these qualities are not what we need today if we want to be successful, faithful servants today. Look at verses 6 and 7. What we're going to see here is diligent preparation. Right? Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. And we see careful discipline in verse 10. Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shout. We see patient repetition here in verse 14. And something about this also, statistically, you know, 10 to 15% of all churches, right, the Lord's church and denominations, 10 to 15% of all churches, all churches lost 10 to 15% of their membership during the COVID shutdowns. Everybody, right? The Lord's church and denominations out there, why? You got to ask. You know, I think, and I was warned about, you know, gathering with the church, you know, turn it into, I got to go to church, you know, and it becomes a habit, right? We don't want it to be that, right? We're not saved because we go to church, right? We're saved so we gather with the church. There's a difference. But there's something to be said about repetition. There is something to be said about training our minds by habit. And Paul talks about that in Philippians 4. Right? There's something good about that. And, you know, it becomes dependable in our lives. So that's something we can learn from this here. Right? They had patient repetition. Verse 20, this bold exultation. Look at verse 20. And so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up in the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And we see complete obedience in the next verse. And then we see, of course, intentional compassion with Rahab in verses 23 through 25. Really think about it. You know, God could have said, you know, sit down, sit tight, don't move. I'm going to go knock these walls down for you. Then you can go into the city. Right? You know, which is how a lot of people approach faith today, by the way. There's a lesson in that for us. Right? But that's not how our God works. Right? And we know that God is fully able to work, you know, with or without man, with or without your help. But his normal plan has been to use people to accomplish his will. God could have built the ark, but he used Noah. Right? A good example there. And so even though God could have caused these walls to fall down, he still wanted the people to march and to blow the horns and to shout. And when the walls fell down, they still had to go in and take the city and do a lot of house-to-house fighting. So by faith, the walls of Jericho fell, right? Now, how do we know it was by faith? Well, because the people of God put their faith into practice. Right, by marching around the city day after day, doing all these things that God had commanded. And so finally here, we can sum up our lesson in this fifth and final point. The walls of Jericho fell because faith took action. Right now, we all know that belief is essential to our faith. Right, taking action, removing doubt. You got to believe something before you do it. Now, did you know that the Bible talks about two different kinds of faith? It's been a while since I brought this up. You have faith in, and you have faith that. Now, faith in can be described as belief, right? But here's the best way, I think, to illustrate it. Faith in is you're on the 100th floor of a skyscraper, and that elevator opens. Now, before you get in that elevator, you have to believe it's going to take you down safely. Right, that's faith in, that's belief. And maybe you're looking there at that little placard and says, you know, it's been serviced recently and it looks in well, you know, you're looking for visual evidence. All right, I believe this is going to get me down safely. That's faith in, that's belief. Faith that is actually stepping into the elevator and allowing it to take you down. Right, that's a good way to break up your entire Bible. Genesis 1:1 to Acts 2:36 is about faith in. Right? Let me say, God saying, here's evidence who I am, who Jesus is. Right? And the good, honest heart, that's going to cut the heart. Verse 37, they're going to ask, what do I do about that? Well, the faith in part is verse 38. Repent, be baptized for remission of sins. Right? And then the remainder of your Bible is for those who have faith in and faith that. So understand that. And what we see in their example here is faith took action. Belief is always the first part of faith, right? Convictions that certain things are. Over here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we all know verse 1 very well. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people stop their definition right there. You know, they think that faith is belief plus nothing else. Right, it took faith to march around Jericho for 6 days, and on that seventh day, seven times around, right, just as God had told them, right, that the walls would fall, and they fell. Right, but they still had to do the marching. That's acting on the belief part. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we imagine the scene here. We'll finish up in just a moment. Right, day one, back here in Joshua 6, you know, thousands of Jews marching around. Nothing happens. Day two, same thing. Day three, day four, day five, day six, nothing's happened. Right, and again, I'm sure the folks there in Jericho from those high and mighty walls are casting insults on them. You know, these Jews are nuts, right? You're wasting your time. But on that seventh day, everything changed, right? And that's it. That's how faith works. Right? What a wonderful picture of redemption here in this story. And I'm sure there were some critics and doubters and complainers among them, but they carried on. Right, and they won a great victory with God and for God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Now, we as God's people, right, we face a lot of obstacles, right? Sometimes I think we think that victory seems out of reach. We might just be on day two of our march around Jericho, if you will. God, through these three stages here that we read of, impossible, difficult, done. What a great lesson for us. And, you know, I believe God lets us sweat a little bit, struggle, right? That chastening, that admonition we read about in Hebrews 12, to allow us to learn. Sometimes we have to be driven to our knees to learn to trust Him at a deeper level, right, more so than before. And when we work for God, our motives are lifted to a higher plane. You know, we search the Scriptures, we seek godly counsel, we pray for guidance, right, and we believe that God is pleased with our efforts. But still, it seems things move slowly. Things that we thought should only take days or weeks or taking years or maybe decades, right? Then enthusiasm lags and skepticism creeps in, and you know, and maybe even doubt takes aim at our faith, right? And we stop marching around the city. But we need to see here that the real battle of Jericho was not a battle with Canaanites per se, right? The real battle, I believe, in all of this was within the hearts of God's people, right? Would they believe what God said, right? Would they risk the humiliation, right? Would they, you know, they don't want to look like fools, right? Did they really think God would deliver them? That's where the real battle was. So once God's involved, the victory's theirs, right? So the real battle was within the minds of God's people. But they remained faithful, their faith took action, and God delivered on His promise. And as we offer the Lord's invitation here this evening, you know, I want you to understand that nothing has changed concerning the promises and the character of God since then all the way to this very day, 2025, here in Fairview, Tennessee. So the question becomes, what will you do with the promises of God? If you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, we can take care of that, right? Maybe you're at the faith in portion, right? I believe in God. I believe in the evidence of who He is, who Jesus is, and I'm ready to take that faith, that step, right? To repent of your sins and be baptized for the removal of those sins. So if you haven't done that, that's a plea for you this evening. If you have, but along the way you lost your way, right, that marching around that spiritual Jericho just became too much and you've made a separation between you and God, good news is you can start it again, right? You can have that reconciliation. But if we can help you in any way this evening, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.